Back in the Word of the Lord tonight to the passage that already we have read from. That's the book of 2 Samuel, and it's the chapter 19. 2 Samuel and the 19th chapter. There are many Old Testament historical notes that are in the chapter here, and a lot of them could be preached on, but we're looking at the words of verse 18. There went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Shimei, the son of Giram, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. With God's word open before us, we'll bow together in a further word of prayer. Our Lord Jesus, in thy merit, we approach the throne of grace in heaven. We thank thee that we have a Redeemer who has died, shed his blood, opened the life gate. We pray that souls will press in to the kingdom of God and will, as the Bible says, lay hold upon eternal life. Answer our cry. Lift up thy word. Magnify thy name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. David was the greatest king Israel ever knew. Yet when we move down into the ranks of his family, we find deceit, disaster, destruction. Had a son called Absalom, who was very ambitious and ruthless and callous as well. Absalom, he wanted to sit on his father's throne. He wanted to wear the royal crown of the kingdom, and he wanted to be there wielding the scepter. Absalom decided the best way in which he could engineer that ambition of his into reality was to hide behind a big profession of love for his father, and then behind the father's back work feverishly day and night to band a strong group of followers behind him and his cause. Absalom's winning formula was, Dad's getting old. And with being old, the load of looking after this great kingdom of ours is becoming too much for him. It's time somebody took the load off his shoulders. Then our country will be run more economically, more efficiently, more beneficially for every one of us. I'm in the prime spot to do this job. His plan worked a treat. He won over the hearts of the men of Israel. He got himself proclaimed as the new king. Due to the smallness of the group that remained loyal to their king, David, David had no choice but to abandon the throne, lay down his crown, take off the royal robes, and run by night over the river Jordan, crossing over to the east of the Jordan to a place called Mahanaim. There, from the vantage point in the stronghold that was Mahanaim, David would see his own son fighting against him in a civil war situation. The key battle took place in the wood of Ephraim. Absalom's forces there were defeated. Absalom himself was killed. You'll remember the incident. Hair caught in the branches of an oak tree. Three darts into his heart, administered by David's general called Joab. Then the swords of Joab's soldiers thrust Absalom through. Back in the fortress, David waits for the news of the battle coming through. One runner comes in and he thinks from his report the young man Absalom is safe. Another runner comes in slower than the first one, and he spills out the bad news. As far as David was concerned, your son, darling of your bosom, Absalom, has been killed in the confrontation out in the wood of Ephraim. The throne is yours, David, again. Now David And we'll just jump over the mourning, misplaced mourning, that he was showing here as far as Joab was concerned. But David is on the way back. He and his entourage are returning to Jerusalem. Over 1,000 men accompany him at this time. But between David and that band of his and getting to the beloved city, the capital of the nation, Jerusalem, is the angry, unruly Jordan River. The king needs to get across this. But how? Well, as he stand at the banks of the Jordan, no obvious way to get to Jerusalem except across that river, there's a ferry boat coming over from the west. 2 Samuel 19:18 records, "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good." Now, let's keep this in perspective. The River Jordan was not a massive river. The Nile, it was not. The Mississippi, it was not. The Amazon, it was not. And yet it was a boisterous river. It is the largest river in Palestine. Although it differs from the other great national rivers, some of which we've already mentioned, in that it has between the Sea of Galilee up in the north and the Dead Sea that it runs down into, it has 27 rapids in between the two, so it can carry no traffic. The Sea of Galilee through to the Dead Sea, joined by the Jordan, is only 70 miles. But because it meanders widely across the land, you're talking about the river length, traveling as the crow flies, 70 miles. The river goes for 200 miles. And by the time it drops down into the Dead Sea, it's virtually 1,300 feet below sea level, so it's going down all the time. So coming from the other side, for David this day is this ferry boat. And it takes him and his companions here, in little groups, of course, over the River Jordan and onto the other shore. And when they get to the other side, people have gathered to meet and to greet them there. What a meeting, what a reunion they had. David and his tattered, ragtag army and the 1,000-plus people gathered on the other side to welcome their rightful king back on his way to Jerusalem, back to its throne there. Hundreds along the route, they're greeting him, singing to him with crescendos and shouts. Loved ones and friends are reunited, and David's men, in this emotional scene, are brought across. As I visualize this scene in my mind's eye, I see a cavalcade not taking back their place in history, but way forward at a future time when the king, our king, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes us, his people, across the River Jordan, viewed symbolically on occasions in the Bible as the river of death, brings us safely onto the other side. There are definitely a number of strong similarities here, similarities that have encouraged my heart as I have thought about them. And when I point them out tonight, I pray that the power of the picture will transmit itself to your minds, fill your heart with encouragement as well. First of all, consider this simple fact. The boat must come from the other side. The boat must come from the other side. 2 Samuel 19:18, "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good." Here is King David. He's coming to the River Jordan. He's no way to cross the river. But on the other side, somebody has a boat. It's a little boat. It's a raft, in all intents and purposes, but it's available to him, and this ferry boat comes across, and it transports him across the River of Jordan. Fact is, when you are going to heaven, it will be a case of a boat coming from the other side to take you home. You'll not get to the other side by means of some vessel built in Rome. The ecumenical ship You don't hear so much about it today as we used to do in former days. The feverishly today must have it in the dry dock and are trying to plug all the leaks, but be sure it's still around, but it will not take you over to the other side. You'll not want to be trying to head over in some old boat that has been designed or built in some confessional booth or outside a candle-lighted altar. This ferry boat that takes you to heaven has been built on the other side. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah proclaimed that in Jonah 2 and verse 9, and right through the Bible, start to finish, from Genesis right the way through to Revelation, you will find as you read salvation, where do we find it? Grounded in the love of God. Why did he save me? I know not why. I only cry, oh, how he loved me. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 tells me that. As does Romans 5 and 8, God commended his love toward us. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16, 1 John 4, 9 to 19, all saying your salvation, it is grounded in the love of God. It's grounded as well in the grace of God. Not by any meritorious work that you or I ever can do, but purely because God is gracious that he has saved us. Romans 3, 22, 23. Romans 5, 15 to 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. Ephesians 1, 5 to 8. Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. We could go on. Titus 2, 11. Titus 3, 4 to 7. Hebrews 2 and 9. It's grounded in the grace of God. And it's grounded, of course, in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter preached in Acts 4, 10 through 12, among that sermon, these words came, neither is there salvation in any other. He took up the same theme in Acts 5, 30 and 31, in Romans 5, 9 and 10, Philippians 3, 20, 21, 1 Timothy 1, 15, many other texts. Salvation, where will we find it? In the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all of God. However, in our country and nation tonight, false prophets and teachers are busily constructing feeble little ships and leaky rafts that will capsize and throw their occupants into the depths of the Jordan River. They'll be lost. You might say to me, well, when I come to die, what will get me across this river of death? How will I safely traverse this Jordan? Only by the boat that comes from the other side. Baptismal regenerationalists stepping onto a sinking raft will never get to the other side or set foot inside the New Jerusalem. The deceived Romanist climbing aboard some so-called secret steps in Rome, reciting his empty prayers as he proceeds, or sitting in his room going through the rosary again and again, will never by that means get to the other side or through the gates of God's great heaven. Listen carefully. There is nothing you can do on this side to get you to heaven. It is all, as we preached this morning, being planned on the other side. And all you need to do is get on board the old ship of Zion. God's salvation. That's what you need. I don't know how long it is since you've heard or since you've even sung the hymn that was penned by M.J. Cartwright. Not really suitable for congregational singing, so we're unlikely to spring it on you at any time soon. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea. The angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel. Loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!" 'Twas the old ship of Zion. Thus sailing along, all aboard her seemed joyous. I heard their sweet song, and the captain's kind ear ever ready to hear, caught my wheel of distress as I cried out in fear, "Ship ahoy!" The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered. With tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, "Bless the Lord." O soul sinking down, neath sin's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save, then trust him today. No longer delay, board the old ship of Zion, and shout on your way. Jesus saves. Shout and sing on your way. Jesus saves. The moralist. He imagines he's going to get up into heaven, cross the River Jordan on the basis of the planks of his own good works, will sink down into the middle of Jordan because his ship was built on the wrong side. And as he tumbles in and drowns himself by trusting in his own deeds, the words of Scripture will swirl all around his ears. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3:5 to 7, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." That Islamist, gazing and praying towards Mecca. That Mormon, relying on what Joseph Smith claimed that he read from those golden plates, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Acts and the Covenants and all of that, that Jehovah's Witness, clinging to the teaching of the Watchtower Society and seeing nothing outside of the goggles put on him by that Watchtower Society, that New Ager, clutching his crystals and his self-promotion manuals and his feel-good books. All of these are on those little boats that are going down under in the Jordan. They've no chance of making it to the other side, because their crafts have all been built on the wrong side. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and do what he thought good. This ferry boat that David and his men used to cross over the Jordan, it was found on the side of that river, opposite to where they were, built on the western side. Thank God the salvation we proclaim and present tonight was not fashioned on some church altar, or shaped in some church baptistry, or made by virtue of some church's sacrament, or decided by some bishop's conclave, or pope's pronouncement in Rome. It was made in heaven. Again we repeat it, salvation is of the Lord, not the labors of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite, no, could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. There are two main religions in the world today, and always only have been two. The one religion is that which builds its boat on this side and thinks it can get to heaven by its own ritual and rigors and resources and religions. The others depend on a boat that has been built and kitted out and floated from the other side. Those are trusting in anything built here will die and burst through the gates of hell someday and burn in the eternal, unquenchable fires of damnation. But bless God, those who get on board the ship that was built on the other side shall live forever and ever and ever, walking and singing and serving the Savior on those streets of gold. Let me make this crystal clear. The surfboard of Holy Communion is built on the wrong side. The paddle boat of confirmation is built on the wrong side. The rowing boat of good works is built on the wrong side. The canoe of the sacraments is built on the wrong side. The raft of church membership and attendance built on the wrong side. The water skis of legalism built on the wrong side. The speedboat of denominational salvation is built on the wrong side. The inflatable of self-reformation is built on the wrong side, and all will sink in the Jordan. Put your confidence in any of these. You'll never stand safely on the other side of Jordan in the victory of Christ the Savior. Put your confidence in any of these, and you'll never walk through those gates of pearl and onto the streets of pure gold. Put your confidence in any of these, and you'll never embrace the saints of God, including some of your own loved ones who have gone on before, joining up with the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, the innumerable company of angels, Christ the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, all of those in heaven. Trust in any of these. You will never place your hands into the wounds of Christ and adore him as your Redeemer who paid the price for your sins on Calvary. Everything about the gospel comes from the other side. Forgiveness doesn't come from a confessional booth on this side. It comes from a Savior on the other side. Grace from the other side. Mercy coming from the other side. Pardon from the other side. Joy and peace and contentment all from the other side. You need to abandon your hopeless attempts at this boat building business. Get onto the ferry boat that God has built for you. The boat was built. On the other side, there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. But then secondly, and our remaining points will be much shorter than the first, I assure you, but consider another fact. The king, he's coming back to Jerusalem with those that are in his entourage, and everybody is anxious to come back with the king. And here's the important point. Everybody on that boat was as safe as the king was. Let me emphasize something tonight. I am as safe as Christ is, because I am hidden in him. I am as sure of heaven as Jesus is, and he is already there, because I am resting on the work that he has done. I am on the same boat as he. If there was some, if you can picture it, some 10-year-old little boy in that company, and he was able to clamber onto the boat along with the King David on his way back to Jerusalem, going over on this raft, the River of Jordan, that little 10-year-old boy could say, I'm going across the Jordan River as safely and as securely as the king, because I'm on the same boat. Somebody might cry, I hope I don't drown. Listen, you're as safe as the king is, but I don't feel safe. This raft is rocky on the waters of the Jordan here. That doesn't matter. Feelings are not the litmus test of your salvation. Your feelings will be up one day, down another. Fact is, if the king is safe, then you are safe. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. His name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. His record is clean. through him interposing for me in Calvary, shedding his blood for my cleansing, I too have a perfect record there. The King is going to spend eternity in heaven, and I, because of him, am going to spend eternity in heaven as a son. I am as secure as the King himself is. I am in the family. Oh, but somebody says, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to be in the boat. I don't deserve to be in the family. Of course you don't. It's not the deserving people of the world who are on this ferry boat of salvation. It's the trusting people. All of those who have thrown out their own attempts at self-salvation, at self-righteousness, and have flung themselves entirely upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Didn't Christ say during his ministry, Mark 2:17 records it, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's how it is. In other words, if you're trusting in the boat from the other side and not the ones on this side, if you're trusting in what the King has done and not in what you have done, then you've no reason to worry about reaching the destination. I like how it reads in 1 Samuel 19 and the verse 39, 2 Samuel 19:39, where we read, and all the people went over Jordan, all see, because of this boat from the other side, because they were traveling with the King. Not only was the boat built on the other side, not only was the King no more secure than the family, but notice thirdly, it was only a short trip. It was only a short trip, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the King's household and to do what he thought good. Just a short trip. They did not sit on that boat like Noah did on his for 150 days. It was not a 10-mile trip crossing on the River Jordan. It was only, listen for it, 30 meters or so. They could see both sides at the same time. It's only a short journey across the Jordan River. In one ear, as you leave this earth, you can hear the voices of earth's goodbyes, and the other ear, the cheers of heaven's welcome. On one side, the cedars of earth. On the other, the tree of life. You remember how it was said of Bunyan's Mr. Valiant for Truth. And he distributed his weaponry as he came to the River Jordan, was leaving this scene of time for the celestial city. You'll need this shield, you'll need this sword, you'll need this other piece of weaponry for the continual battle that you will be waging. As for me, I'm crossing over. And as he came through the Jordan, we read, and the trumpets sounded on the other side. We really are not far away from heaven's bright eternal day. Just a few miles down the road, but God will lift my heavy load. This place is not so far from here, and I can sometimes seem to hear the shouts of joy and song and praise that we shall know for endless days. Death is highly dreaded, but it's highly overrated. It's just a short trip to the other side. Then our final practical point from what we find here is, number four, they were welcomed at the landing. They went by a boat, discovered on the other side. The King and all the family and those on board, everybody there as safe as the King was. It was only a short trip. They were welcomed at the landing. Read 2 Samuel 19 again when you go home and see the welcome that David and his men received. I hear trumpets sounding. I hear friends praising. I hear loved ones rejoicing. I hear music reverberating. These are the warm embraces as the king and his entourage cross over and go back down to the city of Jerusalem. Those who prayed, those who hoped, those who pleaded that someday they would see this scene again, they're all hugging him. What a celebration it is. What a welcome. Likewise, we will be met. It's a wonderful contemplation to think there is a heaven. And for those who are going through Christ because of his salvation, how we will be welcomed there. Henry Morrison, an old Southern Pentecostalist preacher, was coming back from America to America. He'd been on a missionary trip overseas, and he spotted as he drew in there a large crowd of people, and they're all cheering, "Welcome home!" Henry Morrison said, "I didn't think they'd do that. Come out like this and welcome me back from my missionary trip." He tapped him on the shoulder, injected a little bit of reality, told him, "No, they haven't. It's not for you. American President Theodore Roosevelt, he's on the ship, coming back from a hunting trip, and the people have turned out in numbers to see and to greet him." "That doesn't seem right to me," the missionary thought. "That doesn't seem fair. I've been giving my life on the foreign field, and all they can think about is coming out to welcome home a guy who's been on a hunting trip." Then he closed his eyes to that scene around him. Caught a glimpse of another shore. Christ standing, surrounded by the saints of God, welcoming him home. "Come on home, brother." That was encouraging. Praise God, this all lies before the children of God. You want to go to heaven? The boat comes from the other side. You want peace and pardon and joy and mercy and grace? That boat bringing all of that comes from the other side. You want eternal blessedness? The boat comes from the other side. The boat of pleasure that you're on is going to capsize. It's going to feel in the middle of the rapids. The boat of good works is not taking you where you think it's taking you. Any boat built on this side of the Jordan is not going to make it across. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, cast a wistful eye towards Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my father's face and in his bosom rest? I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Everybody here wants to go to heaven. But everybody here doesn't want to go on Jesus' boat. They don't want to come the Master's way. All you can do is get on board. Step by faith, in repentance, onto the old ship of Zion and travel across that river. David's coming back. The ferry boat comes over from the other side to get him. David crosses over. There's that happy reunion. Some of those who have been sitting in these pews for years, now gone on to glory, we will meet them on the other side. Austin Miles wrote, "Just beyond the River Jordan, just across its chilling tide, there's a land of life eternal. Through its veils, sweet waters glide. By the crystal river flowing, grows the tree of life so fair. Many loved ones wait our coming in the upper garden there. There the buds from earth transplanted for our coming watch and wait, in the upper garden growing, just within the golden gate. Though our hearts may break with sorrow, by the grief so hard to bear, we shall meet them some glad morning in the upper garden there. I'm telling you tonight, get on that boat that was built on the other side. Travel as safely as the king. Time is running out. It is but a short trip. Have that crowd waiting to welcome you. So come and join this holy band and on to glory go to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that God has devised the plan for our salvation. We try to make our own way, but all of our own ways end in failure. May folk come tonight and call upon the mercy of God in Christ. Cry out, Lord, I perish. May Jesus and He alone save and rescue me. There are loved ones in the glory. Their forms we often miss. The hymn writer asks, when we end our earthly story, will we join them? In their bliss will the circle be unbroken in the sky by and by. Lord, reach to souls not just on a purely emotional level, but on an efficacious level, the level whereby thy grace is working, the Spirit is drawing, where they will be brought truly into Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for thy glory, for our soul's good, we ask. Amen.